You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Today's episode is brought to you courtesy of our friends and partners over at SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek mobile app and enter the promo code LONBA, and you can get a $20 rebate off of your first SeatGeek purchase. So as we chat on this Friday morning, it's our third day in a row with an episode here at Locked On Rockets. That can only mean one thing. The dog days of the calendar are finally over. We're almost back to basketball. Media day Monday here in Houston. Tuesday, the opening of training camp, not just here in Houston, but around the entire NBA. And with all these players about to report, that means we're finally starting to get news again. We have things to discuss. Yesterday's show, we broke down the report from Jason McIntyre of the big lead, also of FS1, that Carmelo Anthony's representation was trying one last time, a Hail Mary, he called it, to get the Knicks to trade him to Houston before being willing to accept a trade to Portland. I explained my skepticism over that in yesterday's show, and today we have an entirely new subject to discuss because the Knicks front office, President Steve Mills, GM Scott Perry, head coach Jeff Hornacek, they sat down for basically part one of the Knicks media day to give their outlook on the Knicks season, and while maybe not that enlightening, certainly said some things of note regarding Carmelo and the New York Knicks. So I want to break it all down in today's show, my takeaways from the Knicks press conference this morning, and to give a little bit of background on it. The Knicks are a rare team, probably due to the huge saturation of media in New York. They essentially split their media day in two. Most teams around the league, including the Rockets, their media day is on Monday. The players, the coaches, the executives on Monday will get to sit down with Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni, as well as James Harden, Chris Paul, and most of the marquee players on the squad. That's how it works. For New York, I think because there are so many media and there are so many questions, then they essentially split it in two. Not just this year, it's been that way in previous years as well, where on one day they'll do, again, the big three, the president, the GM, and the coach, and then the media day on Monday will be just about the players because there are so many media, there are so many questions that when you're in a media market like New York, you probably need to split it up. And by the way, it's that media market. We'll tie into it in just a little bit later when we talk about what if the Knicks actually do keep Carmelo into camp. But that's another reason why it's so saturated, there's so many media, that there is a lot for the Knicks to lose by bringing Carmelo to camp and letting this situation continue to drag on for, like I said, at least 3 months for the Rockets, but a lot longer than that when you consider the Cold War between Carmelo and the New York Knicks. But the real takeaways as far as Friday, again, I sense some pessimism on Twitter relative to yesterday about the likelihood of a deal being had before Monday, before training camp between the Knicks and the Rockets. I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm more pessimistic. I would say my reaction was largely shrug. The things we heard and summarized from Ian Begley of ESPN, if you're not already following him on Twitter, certainly should. He's their beat writer for ESPN, very good reporter. Steve Mills says the plan is for Carmelo to be here on Monday for media day. Says he can set a good example for the young players. Steve says that he thinks team chemistry / focus will be unaffected by any ongoing Carmelo trade talks. I almost laughed and fell out of my chair when I heard that. We'll address that in a few moments. And said that Steve said that the Knicks have been in regular contact with Carmelo Anthony of late. So I'll start by saying, look at all the qualifiers. Every single thing you heard, and if you want to hear the full comments, you can go to the Knicks Facebook page or probably their website as well, and they have a full archive of the commentary. But there are so many qualifiers thrown on all of these statements. The plan. If, as of yet, there was a question to Scott Perry. I don't believe Ian transcribed that, but Perry said that they were looking for a deal that worked for both Carmelo and the Knicks, and they had not found that as of yet. There are so many qualifiers. And if you want this to go away, if you're the Knicks and you want it to go away, it's very simple. You just say, Carmelo's a Knick, and this is where he's going to be. And then the entire thing, within a day or two, stops. They did not say that. They made it pretty clear, and of course, it's clear for a lot of other reasons, including the blog post on MSG, all the other things that we've seen the past few weeks, that they truly do want to move on from him and rebuild around their young core. But if they are truly comfortable with keeping him, There's no need to add any qualifiers. Just say point blank, this is where he's going to be. We're happy with him. And they had every opportunity to do that and did not. So you look at the way the discussions were characterized today, it's pretty clear that they are still actively looking to move on from Carmelo Anthony. And at the end of the day, that's probably the motivating force that's going to drive a deal. It just depends on what the deadline is that pushes them. Is it the start of camp? Maybe it goes on into the season for a little bit. Who knows? I can't say because I'm not the New York Knicks. However, the motivation for them to deal him is still there. And even if they say a few lines about, well, he's under contract, blah, blah, blah. Well, folks, the qualifiers in and of themselves speak a lot because, again, there's no need to throw those in if you're comfortable with him and that's truly what you're going to do. Just commit to a path and move on. The fact that they're not willing to commit to a path, that in and of itself says a lot. But I really want to address what I don't think a lot of fans get, which is that these conferences, these press conferences, are almost useless as long as a player is under contract. I saw a lot on Clutch Fans and Twitter yesterday, fans really looking forward to this, thinking there might be something groundbreaking coming out of it. Maybe if you're not familiar with the legalese of contracts and journalism and everything that goes with that, I can understand some lack of knowledge on exactly what these guys say, but I can tell you from being in the media and also talking to executives and how big of a deal, these types of contracts are, it's pointless as far as their commentary when you're talking about a potential transaction of a player under contract. There's just not much else you can say because until a deal is done, that player is under contract with you. And if a deal isn't done, it's not all in your court. Something could happen somewhere else that they don't want to move forward with their team. Things can fall apart for any number of reasons. So for the Knicks to essentially say, well, we expect Carmelo to be here, of course they do, because he's under contract. That's common sense. And until he's not, that's going to be the party line. If you want an analogy, I'll point out the Rockets with Dwight Howard, which felt like a somewhat similar scenario in terms of a star player who had kind of worn out his welcome. His time was over here in Houston. I can promise you guys, the Rockets worked very hard in February 2016 at the deadline to try and trade Dwight Howard. It just ultimately didn't work out. And every time Daryl Morey was asked about it on the record, he downplayed the chances, said he wasn't really working that hard, that they were excited by Dwight. It was all lip service. They were working very hard behind the scenes. I can promise you that. It's just a matter of if that player is under contract, you have to be aware of the scenario of, well, what if the contract just continues as it's designed to? What if the transaction doesn't happen? So until it's done, you always, always defer to what the contract is. And that's why I never really bought into the idea that a lot of fans on Twitter, though, there's going to be something huge coming out of this New York press conference because Mills, Perry, Hornacek, they're all going to be on the stage. No, they're just going to defer to the obvious, which is that Carmelo Anthony is a New York Knick, the same way the Rockets did with Dwight Howard. And to continue the Dwight Howard analogy, then even that summer when Dwight's contract was going to expire, it was pretty clear to most of us that the Rockets were not, especially after hiring Mike D'Antoni, going to be interested in bringing Dwight back. They still did not close the door. And part of it in that case is not just the contract, it's also just the way you handle that level of star with that kind of power around the NBA. But the Rockets, even then, did not close the door to Dwight. They said repeatedly that they were open to bringing him back, that they really valued him, blah, blah, blah. That's just how you treat a player of that stature. And, of course, if he's under contract, it's even more so. But at the end of the day, it's just words you say on the record. You're boxed in, and the proof is in the pudding. Even they were so willing to spend that summer, and they gave $80 million to Ryan Anderson, the contract that's still kind of haunting the Rockets a little bit to this day, but they still did not make any sort of serious bid to retain Dwight Howard after the calendar went to July 2016, despite numerous comments from Daryl Morey, go back to February, and then even in April, May, June, all alluding to how much they liked Dwight, how much they were interested in him being a part of the team moving forward. It was all lip service, and when you're on the record, there's only so much you can say. Now, I'm not going to say that these press conferences are pointless, but many times you can learn from what teams don't say. In this case, what the Knicks did not say was an unequivocal, he's going to be here, we're committing, we are excited about a future with Carmelo. You did not hear that. Everything had the qualifier. I'll make another Rockets parallel with that. When we go back to the Chris Paul press conference in July, Daryl Morey, not just Daryl, but also every player on that stage, the coach, you never heard Ryan Anderson's name mentioned once. That was interesting. They went out of their way to mention the supporting cast, obviously not just Chris and James, but Trevor, PJ Tucker, Luke Bamute, Bamute, I don't think he was signed at the time of the Chris Paul press conference. But they were up and down the roster, Clint Capella, Nene, et cetera, et cetera. And they essentially mentioned every rotation player, Eric Gordon, never once mentioned Ryan Anderson. That was interesting. But again, if you were to ask Daryl Morey back then, if I were to ask the question, hey, Daryl, what do you think about Ryan? I can guarantee you he'd say, oh, we're excited about Ryan. He's a big part of our future. Well, yeah, because I'm asking him on the record with the cameras rolling, what else is he going to say? That's what's happening with the Knicks right now. They're on, and they're aware that with the New York media market, it's going out all over the world. They're on camera. What possibly can you expect them to say about a player who is under contract? Not just under contract, but leading scorer, by far the biggest name, the biggest Q score, whatever you want to call it, in their entire organization. Until that guy is dealt, that's what they are going to say. So I am not so much focused on the, you know, this is what they say the plan is, because all of these things, to some extent, are dog and pony shows when you have official press conferences like that. I would never get my hopes up about a press conference with a player under contract thinking you're going to get some sort of juicy rumor to come out of the GM. It just doesn't work that way. If you want to take something out of press conferences, and I agree, sometimes you can, it's more about what doesn't get said than what does. And as I said with the Rockets back in July, the absence of discussing Ryan Anderson was pretty obvious. And today, with the Knicks, if you go through it, every mention of Carmelo came with a qualifier. If, as of yet, the plan. There was no unequivocal statement that this is our guy, we are comfortable with him, and we are moving forward with him as a part of our rebuilding effort. No one was willing to say that, and that, to me, was the most telling. Now, there are a few other elements of this that I did think were interesting, at least, I wouldn't say enlightening, but certainly interesting. We'll talk about those in just a few moments, but for now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our wonderful sponsors over at SeatGeek, because without their support, we would not be able to bring this show to you, well, for three consecutive days in this case. SeatGeek has been wonderful to us here at Locked On Rockets, and they can also be wonderful to you, the sports fan, because here in Houston, there's a ton going on. The Astros are about to be in the playoffs in just a couple of weeks. The Rockets, in mid-October, they kick off one of the most sought-after seasons in a long time from a fan perspective. James Harden, Chris Paul, hopefully Carmelo Anthony as well. So the new-look Rockets, the playoff Astros, tickets are going to be at a premium. Many times you can't even get them from the box office, and the few occasions you can, they may be uneconomical because dynamic pricing, the teams are going to essentially price the tickets so high that they may price you out as a fan. So the good news, though, there are secondary sites that can help you out, and to me, SeatGeek is by far the most friendly. Of course, they do the things such as cross-compare websites. They grade every ticket from 1 to 100, so you know you're getting good value deals, the best bang for your buck. But in addition to all of that, what they do that's really special, they have an app that is so friendly, literally two taps of your finger, you can buy and sell tickets. And that simplicity, that helps a lot. And it's really big because when you have this dynamic pricing that's going on, when you essentially price fans out of the individual ticket marketplace, well, at some point, the tickets are going at a more economical level. Well, the tickets are going more economically to the season ticket holders who need a reason to sell them somewhere else in many cases. So whether you're a season ticket holder looking to sell or a fan looking to buy, SeatGeek helps you on both ends with a very simple app, and that's why they're picking up more business each and every day. And for those of you at Locked On Rockets, the best part of it, y'all, as my loyal listeners, you get a $20 rebate off of your first purchase. And to get it, it's just so easy. Download the app. Open the settings tab and click add a promo code, then enter the promo code LONBA. That LONBA promo code will get you $20 off of your first SeatGeek purchase. So jumping back into today's show, kind of reflecting on Steve Mills, Scott Perry, and the Knicks pseudo media day press conference regarding Carmelo Anthony, I led off by essentially breaking down why I don't take any of the statements that literally. I think a lot of these press conferences, especially when you deal with rumors, things that are a little uncertain, you're boxed in by the fact that no GM is silly enough to make a comment he can't walk back regarding a player who's currently under contract with his team. That should be obvious, but I just want to make that clear, and that's why I wanted to lead with it. Beyond that, though, there are a few things that I thought were of note. One thing I thought was really interesting was that Steve Perry did not shoot down the question about what ongoing trade talks would mean for chemistry. Now, I do think it's laughable that the notion that, well, it wouldn't affect the team. Folks, that's absolutely silly. When you have a guy, your leading scorer, a starter, as big as Carmelo Anthony, his stature around the league, you don't know whether he's going to report to work the next day based on all the random things you're hearing on Twitter. Just look at Kevin Durant this week for how much Twitter can have an impact on state of mind for some of these athletes. It's absolutely silly to think that's not going to make an impact, especially on a team as young as the Knicks with so many youthful, impressionable players. I think that answer, I don't even think Steve believes that. I think it was kind of silly for him to even go on the record saying that. But besides just the denial, what's interesting is that he did not push back against the nature of the question, which is that there would be ongoing trade talks. I mean, if you're comfortable with where you are and you are moving forward, then you just say, well, there's not going to be trade talks. This is our team. And they had every opportunity to say that and did not. So that ties back into the theme that I said leading off. It's not about what does get said. Many times it's just as much, if not more, about what doesn't get said. That was the perfect opportunity to push back. And he did not. Jeff Hornacek said that he would start Carmelo. His role would be unchanged. That's a no-brainer. Folks, I've said for a while, I've seen some Knicks fans saying, oh, just bench him, let him rot, and then you'll push him to leave. Well, first, he's never going to leave because if you do that, because you're just killing his value and he's just going to take the $55 million that he's owed. I think it's fantasy no matter what to think he's going to opt out next summer and give the Knicks cap relief. But even if there's a 1% or 2% shot of that, the 1% or 2% shot is for him to go out, play really well, and bolster his market to where either the trade offers increase for him or maybe he thinks he is a highly sought after enough free agent next summer that he would opt out. It makes no sense whatsoever for the Knicks to punish him, bury him on the bench. That accomplishes no objective other than just a few Knicks fans that are just angry and want a punching bag and are upset that Carmelo won't expand his no-trade list. Other thing, this is a small point, but I do think it pushes back a little on the idea of Portland being a viable destination for him. I think there would be a lot more certainty from the Knicks about what they were going to do if they felt they had a lot of options. So I think the Knicks, in that press conference, they made it clear that while I wouldn't go as far to say that Carmelo is definitely going to be there Monday or Tuesday, but that it's a viable path. Whereas if they really felt like that they had a lot of options, then I do think it's possible you could have been a little softer with your language, or perhaps even delayed the press conference a day or two until the weekend to see what happens. So, as I've said for a while, I don't think the backup plan is Carmelo. If Carmelo cannot get to Houston, if there's no deal to be struck, that, well, then he would accept a trade to Portland or somewhere else. No, the backup plan is that he just stays and this stuff drags on into the preseason, potentially into the season as well. I think the language from a lot, you're not seeing Carmelo go out of his way to force the issue the last few days. You're certainly not seeing the Knicks do that. So I was skeptical of the report all along from Jason McIntyre as I went into on yesterday's show. But the Knicks commentary today to me reinforces that the backup plan for both the Knicks and Carmelo is for him to be there. There is no backup plan as far as, well, if the Houston deal doesn't work out, then we're going to send him somewhere else in the league. And, of course, the reason for that is that Carmelo is only willing to waive his no-trade clause for Houston. And I know there's a desire amongst a lot of basketball media to push the narrative, maybe expand the list because it makes for more clicks, it makes for more entertainment. But I just don't think that's reflective of the situation at all. I think it's either Houston or New York for Carmelo. I don't see anything else being an option, especially not this weekend. Now, if it goes into the season, perhaps other things become a possibility. Again, narratives can change very quickly in the NBA. Just think about what people thought of the Rockets going into training camp last year and how quickly that changed by December or so. Things can change. But for right now, I think it's Houston or New York. I don't see anything going on from what the Knicks say, what Carmelo says, or more importantly, does not say, that gives me any indication that he is prepared over the next 72 hours before camp to accept a trade to Portland or anywhere else that's not Houston. I think it's either the Rockets or Knicks for him, and if it's not the Rockets this weekend, then well, we go into camp and we let the circus continue and we see where it goes from here. A couple final things before I wrap up this podcast. I get asked a lot on Twitter, and there's still a lot of confusion, I think, from people who maybe don't listen to me regularly or are not that tuned in to the deal of, well, why would the Knicks accept Ryan Anderson? I want to back up. We've said this a lot of times, but again, I haven't done too many Carmelo episodes this month because at this point it's status quo. I don't think there's that many discussions or that much new because we've said all there is to say. It's just a matter of if the Knicks are going to blink when there's finally some sense of deadline pressure. But I want to hit home over and over again, I do not think the Knicks are taking Ryan Anderson. I get their skepticism with that. Essentially, Carmelo is owed $55 million over the next 2 years. Ryan is owed $60 million over the next 3 years. That extra deal, Carmelo expiring in 2019, Ryan expiring in 2020, that's a hindrance to their rebuilding efforts. And yes, I do think, even though Carmelo doesn't want to be there, another funny part of today's press conference was Steve Mills saying he wanted to restore some sense of calmness after a lot of off-court drama in recent years. Well, I don't think keeping an unhappy player is exactly a way to promote calmness. It's kind of funny given the backdrop of the conference. But besides all that, there is a business side to the NBA. And in some of these, I wish the Knicks, rather than just putting out answers that were obviously just fake, would just say it's a business and leave it at that. But the business side of it, the Knicks are trying to rebuild. Ryan Anderson going through 2020, that's not a good deal for them. And his contract signed early in 2016 when a lot of teams did not realize just how much the cap was not going to rise as expected at the time. And some of those deals stick out like sore thumbs at this point. So I agree, the Knicks are not going to take Ryan Anderson. You also combine that with the fact that he plays the same position, power forward, as Kristaps Porzingis, the best asset the Knicks have. So there are a lot of reasons that it's not really a fit for New York. But I don't believe that this was ever a two-team trade. As I've been told by people close to the situation, and as has been reported many times, the Rockets have had various three and even four-team partners throughout the process. I think the goal is to get contracts to New York that expire in 2019 or earlier. Essentially, you ship Ryan to a third team. No team is willing to take Ryan Anderson for nothing. No one's willing to take his contract into space. That does not mean that no team is willing to take Ryan Anderson. That's a distinction a lot of fans and even media don't seem to be able to make, and it's really sad. No, Ryan Anderson is not unmovable. He's a quality basketball player. You can move him. It's just no one's going to take his $20 million per year salary, $60 million over the next 3 years, into cap space. He's not a positive on that cap figure. However, he is a quality player, and you can move him for other contracts. And I think in the case of the Knicks, what you should be hoping for are contracts that expire in 2019 or earlier. They're probably not going to be the friendliest contracts. It's not going to be like a huge net positive deal for them. But as long as the assets are expiring the same as Carmelo 2019 or earlier, I think there's a case for this ultimately to get done. Now, people say, well, if that were the case, why wouldn't the Knicks do the deal now? Well, I think the Knicks are trying to get the best deal they can. And as I've said for months now, there's no incentive for them to do a deal until at least now, because it takes until camp for there to start to be negative repercussions for keeping Carmelo with the team. Over the summer, July and August, oh, that's meaningless. There's no downside to keeping him. There's no media events, there's no games, there's not even any practices. There's no downside to keeping him. So you might as well keep him and hope against hope that the offer somehow improves. We're now finally getting to the point where there are some negative consequences for potentially keeping him, and so that's why I think you're starting to see discussions, birds chirping, whatever you want to call it, picking up a little bit again. So just because there hasn't been a deal, I don't think it's that there's nothing that the Knicks would even remotely find tolerable. I think it's that the Knicks, they're not crazy about it, but if pushed to a deadline, it's, you know, I always say in sports, and I've compared a lot in recent days here in Houston to the Justin Verlander acquisition to the Astros. The Astros were in talks with the Tigers going all the way back to 2016 on Justin Verlander, according to Jeff Luhnow, the GM of the Astros. Yet it took until 10:59, literally the last seconds of the deadline on August 31st, to finally conclude that deal. And in this case, this is not even the formal deadline. I suppose the deadline for this year wouldn't even come until February. But before then, July, August, you have to be blown away with an offer to move at that point if you're a professional team. And if you're not blown away, then you might as well just hang on and see if it gets any better. So I don't buy the idea that, well, because the Knicks haven't accepted a deal yet, that any proposal out there is just terrible, or if there are no proposals out there where a third team takes Ryan Anderson. No, I don't buy that at all. I think the Knicks have at least one, maybe more than one, according to what I've heard, that options involving third teams taking Ryan Anderson and some of those contracts going to New York. It's just they're hoping against hope that maybe the offers improve, or that maybe, you know, you keep Carmelo and maybe somehow he's still trying to get a clue. Would he opt out next summer? And then that would be the better scenario than taking contracts, say, that end in 2019. But the bottom line is, I don't think you're trying to get them to take Ryan Anderson. The gap is not that big. You are not trying to bridge that. What you're trying to get them to understand is that, hey, if we get you contracts that expire in 2019 instead of 2020, you should probably do it, because Carmelo is basically on the books until 2019 anyway. And there might be a little reluctance, because in theory, he could opt out next summer to get them cap relief sooner. And if that were the case, then yeah, it would be the best case scenario for the Knicks just to keep the damn guy or to buy him out, which is another option I'll talk about in just a minute. But at this time, I don't think the Knicks are blown away by any offer, so they're willing to at least entertain the possibility of waiting, especially while there are no games, no practices, no media availabilities, no anything, to see if the offers improve, or if maybe Carmelo gives them any signal that he would opt out next summer. And again, I don't think it's a coincidence that the Knicks say that they've had constant dialogue with Carmelo. That involves his no-trade list, his desires next summer. They're trying to pick his brain as best they can. It's essentially a game of poker, and they're trying to read him as best they can to decide what their direction is. So again, I don't think the Knicks are going to take Ryan Anderson, but I also think that this deal ultimately gets done. These are not, it's not like they have to take Ryan Anderson for this to happen. The deal has been way oversimplified by a lot of fans and media into this. No, there are third teams that would take Ryan. It's just a matter of the Knicks taking those contracts and whether the Rockets can find contracts ending in 2019 rather than 2020. As far as I can tell, I think that's doable. I think that option is out there. I don't think the Knicks are crazy about it, because when you're dealing a guy like Carmelo, you'd ideally like to get a marquee return, at least some sort of major building block you can sell as being a part of your future. And I don't know if they're getting that in this, but at some point you just have to take your medicine. In the case of Carmelo and the Knicks, led by Phil Jackson, they have crushed his value over the years. And of course, you combine that with his age and probably some things that the Knicks are not responsible for, just a little bit of on-court decline, and it's sort of the perfect storm for him being where he is now. So I don't think that I don't think the Knicks are crazy about the return. I think that's why they've drug it out. But I also don't think it means that, well, there's no taker for Ryan, and unless the Knicks take Ryan, there's nothing to discuss. No, I think that's way overdrawn and way overly simplistic. I think there are options, and I think they're probably going to take at least one more hard look at them this weekend before things really get to Monday. Because, folks, the comments that they said today, they're nothing they can't walk back. Again, the qualifiers. If the plan, as of now, folks, if they can easily say tomorrow, Sunday, whatever, oh, the Rockets are over the third team is, this offer wasn't there before, somebody kicked in an extra pick, something changed, they left themselves so many outs. So it's entirely possible that something could break before Monday. Entirely possible. There's nothing I heard today that would make me rule out the possibility that this thing still gets done by Monday, as has been my contention all along. However, a lot of you guys, I know, take the things at face value, and it's possible that they do keep him. I've said for a while that even though it makes sense for them to move, they are the Knicks for a reason. They might choose to keep him. So what happens if they do? One thing I want to point out is that while Monday is the start of there being actual consequences for them, it's not the finish either. It's not a deadline from the sense of, okay, if they don't do it by Monday, then it's never going to happen. It's not a deadline in that sense. It's a deadline that, okay, now you start to get some negative consequences. No, Monday is just the start of that. So you hope it happens by then. But even if it drags on further than that, there are a lot of options to where this thing could still happen. It could be the young players just not wanting the circus, all the questions that come with that. Well, we would have to see how they respond to everything they get from the New York media. It's entirely possible that does not go well. And even if the Knicks are able to manage that, or they just say, screw it, we don't care, we just don't want whatever this package is, then there are a few other options that are longer term, which is, you know, one, the buyout. I know they've said that they're not going to buy him out in the past, but again, the buyout situation, you always say you're never going to buy a player out until you do. Otherwise, you just crush his market right then and there, because teams like the Rockets will just wait to buy him out, and they get Carmelo on top of Ryan Anderson. Rather than even losing Ryan Anderson, a quality rotation player, they just have both of those guys. So, yeah, there's no point for the Knicks to buy him out at while they still have any hopes for a trade. But if these contracts are completely not palatable to them, then no, I would not rule out a buyout at some point. Maybe it takes until during the season, because with 2 years left on his contract, it's not as easy as buying out a guy who is expiring. But maybe by February or March, that becomes an option. The other part of this, of course, is that by December 15th, there are more pieces that the Rockets could trade. If you get Carmelo, he's going to play more minutes in your rotation than your starter Ryan Anderson, which would also cut minutes, your current starter Ryan Anderson, that would also cut minutes for other forwards. And so in theory, on December 15th, the Rockets, as well as other teams around the league, can trade players they got this summer. So it's not a huge increase, but P.J. Tucker, Luke Bamute, guys, even Tarik Black, guys of that caliber, if the Knicks would like those as sweetener, then those could be dealt as of December 15th. So there are some options if this drags on past Monday and past the preseason. It goes into the season. There are reasons to believe the Rockets could improve the offer, and there are also reasons to believe that the buyout becomes more reasonable as the overall amount owed to Carmelo continues to shrink with each paycheck that he gets. So there are reasons to think that a deal could still happen. And the last question I want to answer, I had someone asking me on Twitter this morning, would I still want Carmelo at the deadline? And the analogy he made is that, you know, he's saying it's not like Verlander, because baseball is so much about the individual. He was asking about the chemistry with Carmelo and could it fit. Well, I think that's a little much. I don't think the Rockets are asking Carmelo to be a focal point. Quite frankly, I think they're asking him just be an upgraded Ryan Anderson. I think he'd do a lot of the same things as a stretch forward. He would just give you more athleticism, more playmaking potential. And then you factor in his close relationships already with Chris Paul, James Harden. They're good friends. They played ball together. Whenever it happens, I don't think there's going to be a huge adjustment. I think they're going to play the same way. You're essentially going to put him in the same spots in the offense where you have Ryan Anderson. You're just going to have a little bit more playmaking potential in addition to that, especially the moments that Harden and or Chris Paul are not in the game. So I would not sweat it. I don't think that that you need to get him now, or then it takes a full year to adjust him into the offense. No, I think Carmelo knows who he is. I think the Rockets know what the role they're looking for from that stretch four spot. I don't see it being complicated. Again, my contention, I still think this thing happens sooner rather than later, but if it doesn't, I don't think that there's this huge curve and that it's pointless to acquire him during the season because he can't adapt. No, trades work like that all the time. And I'll point out, shoot, February 95, the last Rockets championship. Rockets traded for Clyde Drexler at the deadline, and Drexler was a huge player in the playoffs for them. So, again, there might be a very short-term learning curve with it, but I don't expect the growing pains, the adaptation, whatever you want to call it, the adjustments of Carmelo getting into the flow with the Rockets to be a reason to where, well, if the Rockets can't do the deal by the start of the regular season, you just stop trying. No, I don't think that's that big of a deal. I think the odds are good that it still happens before the regular season. But if it doesn't, then I think the Rockets know that they're in a pretty good spot, that they have a good team as is, that Carmelo still wants to be there, and they'll be happy to wait out the Knicks and see what happens during the year. And maybe it's that the Knicks, they lose a lot of games, they have some off-court turmoil, and they say, hey, we can't do this anymore. There are some consequences. Because, again, Monday is just the start of the consequences. It's not literally the deadline from the standpoint of, well, if you don't do it by now, then there's no point. No, it's just the start. It's possible that the consequences ramp up even more to a point where the Knicks say, okay, we're done. It's also possible that the Knicks either engage in talks on a buyout once a few more of his paychecks pass, or the Knicks would just wait until December 15th when a few other players, not just from the Rockets, but also around the league and potential three-team discussions, become available to fill salary in this trade. There are a lot of reasons for this deal to happen, most notably that Carmelo wants Houston and Houston wants Carmelo. And while I think the odds are still pretty decent that this can get done very soon, if it doesn't, I do want to explore the scenario because the Knicks did show at least some willingness to take him into camp today. Just because it doesn't happen now, I don't think that we're just going to turn the page and stop talking about Carmelo. It is going to be a viable path for the Rockets, even if it doesn't happen this weekend. But, of course, my hope is that it does. Whatever the case, though, we will have you covered right here at Locked On Rockets over the next 72 hours as we get ready for Monday's media day, Tuesday's opening of camp, and finally getting a resolution on whether Carmelo will be there. So if you're not already following me on Twitter, please do, at Ben Dubose. I'll keep you posted there, or the show, at Locked On Rockets on Twitter, and we will do our best to retweet relevant messages there as well. Also, email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, questions, suggestions, or if you'd like to inquire about becoming a potential sponsor, just as SeatGeek was today. Remember, download that SeatGeek mobile app, use the promo code LONBA, and you can get a $20 rebate off of that first SeatGeek purchase. Also, subscribe to us if you aren't already, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you listen to your podcast, just search for Locked On Rockets. You can find any of our 200-plus episodes over the past year-plus, including all three of ours in recent days, primarily talking about this Carmelo Anthony trade as talks finally seem to be picking back up again, and we finally get closer to the first, not the only, but the first deadline date of when the Knicks finally might have some reason to act and move on from Carmelo. But will that happen? We'll find out over the next 72 hours, or essentially as I record this midday Friday. We're about 72 hours away from Rockets Media Day at noon on Monday. That's when the Knicks players will be there, presumably Carmelo as well, if he is not traded this weekend. And stick with me over the weekend, and we'll, again, Twitter, here on the podcast, we'll react as news comes, and hopefully it's positive news for the Rockets, but yeah, stay tuned. That's all I know to say at this point. So for now, go out and enjoy your Friday, and we'll talk again this weekend as the Carmelo rumors, I'm sure, continue to churn.